Public education takes up a big slice of the state budget, about 20%. But many are saying this year that's not enough.
We can't fund education on raffles and lottery tickets.
Nicole Plurd chairs the Berlin School Board.
We need to have something that is consistent and fair and just. And I don't think we're asking too much.
What they're asking is for the state to stop cutting something called stabilization grants. Most towns get some money from these, but in 2016, the amount started decreasing a little every year. And unless a district's overall budget decreases, local taxpayers pick up the slack. But justifying more state education funding isn't going to be easy, partly because the number of students in New Hampshire is declining. Republican Representative Kenneth Wyler says that should mean state funding decreases too.
If this were a business and you were getting fewer customers, you would have to downsize or do something. Instead, they lay off one person when they probably need to lay off five. And they say, oh, my God, what a terrible thing we've done. No, you haven't done enough.
But Wyler and funding advocates do agree on one thing. The state needs to rewrite the formula it uses to send money to districts, what's known as adequacy aid. It's currently about a fifth of what districts actually spend per student. Some want to double that, others want to tweak it so that poor districts get an extra boost. But the price tag could be big, $20, $100, $300 million more a year. And that doesn't include other slices of the education pie that people say need some attention this year, like school building improvements or UNH tuition costs. And where that money will come from, that's the multi-million dollar question. For NHPR News, I'm Sarah Gibson.
And I'm Robert Garova. From New Hampshire's Diversity Council come two budgetary recommendations. The council, created by an executive order from Governor Sununu in 2017, is charged with making legislative and policy suggestions that will combat discrimination in the state. And that council is calling for more funding to the New Hampshire Commission for Human Rights.
We're a state agency, and our job is to ultimately to end discrimination.
Ani Malachi is executive director of the Human Rights Commission. She's hoping to add three more investigators to her staff so they can manage a caseload of 50 each and a backlog of complaints like sexual harassment and racial discrimination.
We have probably close to 350 pending cases, and that doesn't include the roughly 50 cases that the investigators have. So that's a lot.
If Malachi gets the money to increase her staff, she says it will put the commission back where it was before 2011 when funding was cut.
I've talked to, you know, anyone that would listen to say, we need more help. You know, this would be great. We want the support. Yeah. And not only just to have more bodies to investigate, but there needs to be a robust statewide training program so that we are consistently and constantly doing outreach and doing training, because that's how you really start to address the problem.
That's something the Diversity Council has also called for, especially in schools, and especially after a recent incident which saw students singing about the Ku Klux Klan to the tune of Jingle Bells at Dover High. The head of Sununu's Diversity Council agrees. He's calling for funding for diversity training for every K-12 teacher and administrator in the state.
Money for the opioid crisis will be another big issue in this budget. I'm Breacha Green, and there's a lot at stake here. New Hampshire has one of the highest overdose rates in the country, and just last month, the health department launched its first statewide coordinated system to connect people with help. It's called The Doorway, and it's essentially nine regional offices. They're first stops for evaluation and connections to treatment in the community. But critical to this mission is actually having treatment in the community. That's been limited in recent years by stagnant Medicaid reimbursement rates. Medicaid's the primary insurance many substance use treatment providers are billing, and the money flowing through Medicaid is essential to propping up the state's recovery plan. At West Central Behavioral Health in Lebanon, for example, CEO Sue Ellen Griffin says finances have been incredibly tight, but for the first time in a long time, she says, things are looking up politically.
There's many, many bills, and there's been many, many endeavors to try to increase the flow of money.
Her organization is part of the state's network of community mental health centers, serving a mostly low-income population. Collectively, across the state, they say they have hundreds of unfilled positions. That's in part because of those low reimbursement rates. They say they can't pay competitive wages and benefits. But Griffin says lawmakers this year see the urgency of supporting addiction treatment.
I think that people realize they can't ignore it. It's not going to go away. And if we can be more proactive with mental illness and substance use, then we're going to do much better, not only in New Hampshire, but across the country.
Democrats in the House and Senate are backing consecutive annual 5 and 7% increases in Medicaid reimbursement rates. They hope this will offer some financial security to doctors and counselors on the front lines of this crisis. But the effort comes with a price tag estimated upwards of $85 million. Supporters are hoping Sununu and other Republicans who've made the opioid crisis a key policy priority will work with them to find the funds. For NHPR News, I'm Brita Green.